We're going to talk through some slides that you've been given in your handout. At a high level, I've briefed you several different times on kind of the overview of the project, but I think I would add a couple of things to that. The first one that you need to understand is that HLMP backed off of their nuke facility plans shortly after all of the drama with nuclear power in the United States. And they started trying to shop the deal around a long time ago. They even went so far as, after they were not successful in doing that, they let the permit lapse for the reservoir project. VRA had several bites at that apple, going back to as late as the late 80s, early 90s. And for whatever reason, I think mainly financial, they chose not to pursue the project. So for us now, given the world that we live in, it's very frustrating that VRA didn't go ahead and take this on, because now we're dealing with a 70 cents on the dollar partner that's got cold feet and no need for the water for their immediate usage. So there's little impetus for them to be able to want to move the project forward. On our end of the spectrum, we've got people that are really concerned about what happens for water supply in this area if Balance Creek is not brought to bear sometime between 2020 and 2030. So it's frustrating a little bit, but it is what it is, and so we have to kind of deal with that reality as we move forward. I would also say that we have had movement from Houston in the form of $250,000 that they've received through the Water Development Board. Right now, we're waiting for Parks and Wildlife and the Water Development Board to get back to us with plans for what looks to be phase two of an environmental flow study. There's a lot of concern from VRA's part and some from Houston that what in-stream flow work is done for the Allens Creek permit does not conflict with the broader statewide in-stream flow effort that is now underway for some time and just now beginning in the Brazos. So your concern is, if we do an Allens Creek in-stream flow study, what are the chances that it gets in the way of or messes up a Brazos in-stream flow basin line type study? So we're concerned about that, and it'll be something we'll have to watch. One of the things that we did in 2008 was we had Freeze and Nichols take a look at the to-do list, and they came up with an extensive list that priced in 2008 dollars out at around $200 million, and it took 6 to 8 years. And the biggest caveat about that series of deadlines is this. It's 6 to 8 years, assuming nobody protests what you're doing, and nobody fights it in any kind of a contested process, and that you don't identify something when you're doing your scientific legwork for the Corps of Engineers that you can't deal with. If you come up with some type of a mitigation issue, that could drag that timeline out. The other thing that you need to remember is this. The $200 million figure that we kind of kick around, it does not include the cost of the mitigation properties that you'll have to buy to offset the project. And the reason why Freeze didn't include that in there is we don't have a clue what that's going to be. I mean, the Corps of Engineers sometimes requires mitigation ratios as low as 6 to 1. Sometimes they'll go as high as 15 to 1, depending on what they find. So it's going to be real difficult to be able to get that part nailed down, and it's really not until we get the legwork done that we'll have a better picture of what that looks like. If you look at your second slide, which ought to be slide number 2, here's where we're going today. You're going to see two different pieces of this. One is more dramatic and interesting than the other. The one that's the most dramatic and interesting, ironically, is the one that we have the least amount of information about, and that is the erosion problem that exists on the bend of the river just to the west of the city of Simonson. That is an oxbow, a classic oxbow that the river's doing as it's done for hundreds and thousands of years. It makes those things, then it cuts through them and changes its course. The problem is we've got people that have built houses out there on the oxbow.
There's no swells on this.
So we're going to disembark and get off the bus, and y'all can get out and see this. It's a real issue for us, because when that thing finally cuts through, it will cut off one of the options for taking water out of the river and put it into Allens Creek. So we had two options. One is kind of an upstream option, and another one is a downstream. pretty much means that the downstream option is the only option when that cut through happens.
Yes, sir.
I know we've said it a bunch of times, but explain to them what's on one of those paths. You're going to have to use electricity to suck that out of there.
Yeah. And we actually have part of the technical specs for that in there, but we're going to have to use a bunch of giant pumps. They're going to have to stay on when we're filling all the time to move that water out of the river and into this reservoir project. So, I mean, the reservoir won't catch that much rainwater off of Allen's Creek itself. There's not that much flow that comes through there. Most of that water is going to be coming out of the river, and it's going to take a bunch of electricity to fill the lake. I mean, I don't remember what the percentage was, Brad, of what was coming in and out of there for planting purposes, but I want to say it was like 15% of the water, 10% of the water was coming from Allen's Creek, and the rest was coming out of the river. Now let's talk a little bit more detail about the site. Slide number 3 does is it shows and very graphically what happened when we got in the TCEQ permit process. The original design for the dam was going to roughly follow the contour of the river. Part of that included a very high-value wetland known as Alligator Hole that's approximately 700 acres. Our consultants that were working with us on permitting the Allen's Creek Reservoir Project helped identify that as an issue, and one of the concessions that we brought to the state when we got the water rights permit was to reconfigure the reservoir to exclude Alligator Hole. I believe the area that we're going to go see on the reservoir site, you will be able to see from a distance where Alligator Hole is.
And what is Alligator Hole again?
It's a wetland. Okay. It's a giant. It's basically a swamp. Okay. It's a tree-filled swamp.
Okay.
One of the things that I also want to point out to you on this particular graphic is this. HLNP, when they sold the reservoir site to Houston and to VRA, retained part of their old property on this. They retained two different areas. One, they retained the area where their power plant was going to be, which is up on the kind of upper end of the lake. The second, on the southeast side of the, southwest side of the lake, is some acreage, and we don't know what they're going to do with that. They've not made any kind of public pronouncements about what their plans are. A lot of people have speculated that HLNP, which is now NRG, officials might have designs on having lake houses or something out there on it. Which we'll talk about the whole issue of what happens around that lake here in just a bit. Because based on the discussion you saw from Brad's presentation, why in the world would we ever do anything to purposely create a whole class of stakeholders to fight us on, you know, managing the water supplies in this lake? All right, go to your next slide, number 4. This dam is going to be an earthen dam. So it's not like Granbury, not like Possum Kingdom. This is going to be an earthen embankment, a lot more on the order of what we see at Lake Limestone. At its highest point, it'll be 50 feet high. It'll average about 35 feet high. It's going to have a 100-foot-long concrete spillway that's down at the end, close to where the current creek runs into the river. And that's where when we have flood flows that come in that are more than what we can capture, that's where they'll enter back into the river. There's also going to be a 72-inch outlet by which we'll be able to pass releases for water supply purposes. Now, you know, depending upon what happens with system operations permit, depending upon what happens with Allen's Creek, that's one of those things that will have to be worked out in final design. Conceptually, it's a 72-inch outlet. Yes, average depth is going to be 20 feet. It's not a very deep reservoir. If you go to slide 5, the reservoir site itself is down 9,000 acres, but the estimated surface of the lake will be 7,000 acres. We have a water right for 145,000 acre feet a year, but the firm yield of that is that 99,000 number that we throw around. The final number will really be based on the final design figure that we get from our engineers as far as what in real life the reservoir captures. reservoir from day one whenever you pound water, it starts filling up the silt.
John, so this is 100% of the lake, not 30%.
Yes, this is 100% of the lake. 100% of the lake. Our percentage of that is 33%. Slide six shows you this is Friesen Nichols, a picture from another project that they did. This is what the intake out of the lake that would go down to the river for water supply purposes will look like. It looks a whole lot like the one that we have at Granger, that we use for our pastures there at Lake Granger. This is also a really good shot of the 30-foot embankment. This is approximately a 30-foot embankment that we're looking at. So that's 30 foot doesn't sound like much, but what y'all will see when we go to the reservoir side is it's real flat down there. So 30 foot in that country is going to look pretty tall.
Where do they get the fill?
Out of the bottom. Yeah, assuming that the geologists are able to confirm that it's suitable for it, that's where it would come from. You've already seen, I talked to you about the spillway. Here's a picture of the spillway, very much like what the engineers are envisioning for this project. This is a 100-foot spillway. Phil mentioned the pump station. If you go to slide 8, I don't have the horse power for these pumps, but these are not off-the-shelf pumps that we're talking about. These are size-large, special-order pumps, and we're talking about 9 of them. The structure that we put them on would be almost 200 feet long by almost 80 feet wide. So we're talking about a big old pad. Yeah. And, you know, this is part of the trade-off with a scalping operation like this, an off-channel reservoir. We trade off using the efficiency of nature and damming up a river for this, you know, supposedly less environmentally harmful off-channel project, but it takes a lot of O&M cost to be able to fill it up and keep it going. So,
40,000 sysops.
Our part of the yield of the reservoir project, when the system operations permit is added on top of this, it equates to 40,000 acre feet or thereabouts of water out of the Allen's Creek project. So it's that 30 plus some additional, 7 or 8 that we net out of. Ironically, Houston didn't want to play in that part of it, and they'll probably end up getting benefit out of it before it's all said and done. Yeah. Already mentioned the alternative sites for the intake. If you go to your next slide, you'll be able to see graphically what we're talking about. Pump station site number 2 is the upstream one, and that's the one that gets cut off if that oxbow cuts through, which it's not if it cuts through, it's when it cuts through. And just so y'all will know, when we had public meetings in 2002 and 2003, the first public meeting was Phil Ford was the main course on the menu that evening. It was the first time anybody had been out there since HMLP had taken the land. The next meeting, the year later, went a lot better, but we're due to go out there. The problem is we don't have any news for them yet, so we keep delaying going and having another public meeting because at this stage of the game, we're going to go out there and go, yeah, well, we still want to build it. We still hope to, but nothing's happening. But this pump station here and the problem caused by that, the folks in Simonton are really, really concerned about that cut through. And as directors, to the extent we pursue this project, you're going to hear from those folks. You'll hear from the mayor. You'll hear from the council. They want to know what we're going to do to stop their cut through from happening because you're the Brazos River Authority. That's what you do, right? Right, well, that's exactly right. They want somebody to come in and put in something. And it's sad because you'll look and you'll see, we'll be right next to, are we going to see the house that's fixing to fall off in the river? Yeah. I mean, there's a river house, like a fishing camp house that's out there that, you know, used to be 200 yards away from the river, but now it's fixing to drop off in the river.
Well, you know,
we
have
at least. No. Somebody somewhere made a good decision. Pump station site number 1 is the one that's insulated from the cut-through issue and the erosion problem, and that site will be a good site no matter what happens with the river. And my guess is that lower site really becomes the only real option for the site. It's just a question of how they design it. I mentioned earlier the big pad for the intake stuff. If you look at the next slide, slide 10, this is another one of those Friesen Nichols pictures of one that exists in another area that's supposedly the same size roughly that we're in. And you have to think about this. That's going to be down on the river, on the Brazos River. You know what our flooding like is in the Brazos River, particularly down in this part of the river? That is going to have to be a significantly engineered structure to be able to deal with what will, you know, what it'll be subjected to that close to the river down here with all that expensive equipment in there.
When you get this obstacle that's going to come down and put in there,
and actually cut through right here. This is a little part of the oxbow. The major oxbow actually comes around like that, so it'll be cut through right here.
Okay, you won't really have to do anything like pull that reel, because I don't know why it wouldn't do this too.
It's cutting on both sides.
Yeah, because that's what they do.
Yeah, it's
so
cutting on both sides.
It's a thing called hold that river.
It's going to meet. It's going to meet here. Right. Well, if it meets though, it pretty much all it means that this intake side here, this all goes away. The river doesn't flow through there anymore because it cuts itself. Well, I say it doesn't go through there. Flood flows, it'll still come back through there. Unless you dam it up to stop it from coming back around though, to then. Well, no, if you look on the map there, the one that we've cut off the top part of that oxbow in the traffic, it's a little misleading. It looks like a small oxbow, and it comes off the top of the picture.
So that part, this
actually,
picture right here,
I actually drew it on mine here. Okay. If you look at slide 11, as you can imagine, I mean, we estimate that there's going to be a fair amount of stuff that we're going to have to modify or relocate when we build this reservoir project. Not the least of which being there's a bridge on Highway 36. Highway 36 is the road that comes all the way up out of the Freeport area, all the way up through to Brenham and up north up through that way. It goes from Richmond Rosenberg up through to Sealy. Through Wallace, and Wallace is what's right next to the reservoir site. So there's a bridge on Highway 36 that we're probably going to have to raise up when we put the reservoir there. The city of Wallace's wastewater discharge point is right adjacent to where we are, so we're going to have to probably move that. There's several historic cemeteries in this area because this is a really old historic part of the state. So I don't even know that we know where all of the cemetery sites are and won't until we do a proper archaeological review of the area. And to the extent they find anything, you know, that whole 6 to 8 year thing, now all of a sudden you're looking at a different timeline.
This is section 404.
Yes, section 404 permit from the Corps of Engineers. So we're going to make a lot of consultants very happy when we start this project because there's going to be a lot of work for them to do. And I think the Friesen Nichols guys have done a pretty good job of estimating what they can account for, but there's a lot that they can't account for yet.
How much have we spent on it at this point?
Gabe, what have we spent so far? 20?
Oh, since the beginning? We spent about 18.
Yeah, just under $20 million, but we spent 30% of that. Yeah, we budgeted our part for what we thought was supposed to happen this year, which should have been, our 30% should have been $700,000. Needless to say, all Houston's come up with is $250,000. That's not even, that's pretty much chump change. Slide 12. The biggest things I want to tell you about here is, I mean, I've already talked to y'all about all the different steps in the permitting process here. Where Houston is headed right now is delaying this thing 5 to 7 years. It started out being 3 to 5 years, now it's 5 to 7 years. They have told us they're getting legislation drafted that would accomplish that without subjecting us to additional TCEQ process, because our thing was, look, we don't want you to do this, but if you're going to do it, don't make us have to go through the full-blown process, because if that happens, our 100,000 acre-feet reservoir project's not going to be that anymore. So our friends at Houston are from what I understand, working a draft of legislation, but we've yet to see it, and we asked them to share that with us before the legislation is filed, and they said that they would do that. So all I can do is take them at their word and assume that when that happens, we'll have an opportunity to view that legislation before it goes in process. We have yet to see a draft bill, so we don't know what it's going to look like.
I already talked to you about the Oxbow on 13, so let's go to 14. 14 is interesting because what this shows you graphically is a representation of who benefits from this project. And it's kind of interesting. Right now, the Regional Water Planning Process has a lot more benefit from Allen's Creek going to Brazoria County, and most of our system operations permit benefit coming to Fort Bend County. I think it's going to be a mix probably more of both. One of the biggest things that we cannot account for in the regional water plans is there's some unspecified manufacturing demand that we can't attribute to any entity in particular. And most of the manufacturing entities that we talk to don't have a clue where this is coming from. So it equates to, in 2060 terms, it equates to almost 100,000 demand that doesn't have an owner. So if that demand is not real and it goes away, it changes things pretty fundamentally as far as what the demand picture for water supply purposes look like. The issue that's significant for us, though, is even if that demand comes off the plate, we don't have storage down here in this lower part of the reservoir. The closest storage that we've got is Lake Somerville. And after that, Lake Limestone. So, aside from that, there is a lot of years where there's flow that's coming down through the river down here that there's no way for us to pick that flow up and store it. So we need, from an operational standpoint, to be able to have a way to catch water down in this part of our basin. We also need, because of the drought concerns and as usage increases, it'll only become more acute, that we can have some way to release water for our downstream customers that has a very short travel time. Because the travel time from Allen's Creek down there is what, 5 days?
Down to where?
Down to Dow.
No more than that. It'd probably be more like 3 or 4 days.
3 or 4 days?
Somerville is 5 days.
Okay, that's... So, instead of 2 weeks to 15 days for upper basin reservoirs?
Right.
Big difference. I mean, you can literally see system operations working where you would stage releases coming out of different parts within the basin to be able to affect the water that our customers need for their purposes. So we really do need to have Allen's Creek as a part of the mix, and it's very frustrating that we can't seem to get the thing to move forward because we don't have a controlling interest in the project. If you go look at 15, one of the things that we'll have to deal with as we do this project is there'll be some local impacts. We started hearing back in 2002 from everybody, from school board members wanting to know when all these people were going to hit, that we're going to be working on the reservoir project, and how are they going to be able to handle that, to what happens with, you know, when you take all this ag land out of production and now it's not being generating anything with the feed store and the grocery store. A lot of those types of concerns are concerns that we'll have to, you know, and some of them are things we just can't do anything about, quite frankly. But we will have to do some fairly detailed analysis to understand what all the implications of that are. There will also be a lot of pressure to go in and look at the economic impact across the board, the benefits and the negative aspects of it as well. And somebody, again, will make some consultant very happy to get to go in and do that process. The real estate guys started calling as soon as we had our first public meeting, and we still have people that call us every year. They have grand designs on lakefront property at Allen's Creek, and you know, when is the manna going to come, and how long is it going to flow, kind of a deal. If you look at slide 16, I don't really like this slide. It's really not altogether accurate. Yeah, we're going to provide facilities for public recreation, but, you know, based on our experience elsewhere in our basin, there's no way we're going to go out and create lakefront pipe development around this reservoir other than what we need to have for public recreation purposes. You know, we'll have to have boat ramps and that kind of stuff, but one would think that we would have those boat ramps engineered in such a way that when the lake cycles, that it's usable as much of the time as it can be. The worst thing in the world I think you can do is have a lake that, from an engineering and a hydrologic standpoint, is designed to do this a whole bunch and then build a bunch of stuff that wants this.
It just
doesn't make any sense to do that. And what we hear from Possum King and McGranberry every time we get together does nothing but underscore that fact. Now, that's all the stuff I plan to go over before we go out the reservoir site. I will say this. One of the things that you will notice when we get out there is there's nothing noticeable. It looks like a farm because it is.
we have for years managed those. Most of it is pasture land and row crop agriculture. And we have a number of lessees whose families were the families that this land came from when HLMP obtained the land. Some of them are related to those original landowners. A lot of local folks that have been down in this area for a really long time that have a pretty significant attraction and ties to this land. So when we would drive down there, you'll see that. And you'll also wonder, where's the reservoir site at, because it looks so flat. I mean, it's not like a traditional reservoir site where you've got a river gorge that you go to that say, wow, it looked like you put a dam there, you'd have a great lake. This is more like a pasture that looks a little bit lower in one part of it than it does in another. And that's why we have an average depth of 20 feet instead of 60 or 70.
The budget so far, there's been about $24,000,017 on Houston and seven on our part.
Okay, $24 million spent since we've been involved with this project. $17 million by Houston and $7 million by us. Well, now, that's an interesting question. Depending upon what happens with the system operation permit, and then what happens subsequent to the system operations permit with contracts for water that we sell,
yeah.
There is a question about when we need water to be able to contract for more water, and then there is a question about when we need wet water to be able to supply
water.
The contract question is the one that's the pressing question, because we will have been committed soon after receiving our system operations permit, unless something changes, unless something drastic changes. I think that water is going to be snatched up pretty quickly. So from a wet water standpoint, we'll be able to deliver water out of our existing system to meet our demands, and Brad and his guys track that very, very closely, and we've got the ability within our existing system to be able to supply quite a bit more water on a reliable basis. But we will not be able to contract for any more water, so that means Allen's Creek water comes into play. Based on what we're seeing right now, and this is a really important point, last iteration of the Region H water plan, we knew that the growth numbers that were provided to us from the Water Development Board are lower than what actually happened in Fort Bend County. Significantly, we believe, lower. But because of the state's rules, we are not allowed to accept those numbers, anything other than those numbers. The census numbers are going to come out here later on this year, and if those substantiate what most people believe is the case, that is that even through the recession, the growth numbers in Fort Bend County are still higher than what was projected, all our demand numbers are going to have to get revised up in the next planning cycle. So right now, the demand picture is sometime between 2020 and 2030, there's Brazoria County interests in the plan that are going to need this water.
Down at the bottom of green, system and Allen's Creek demands.
Yeah, right now it looks like the entirety of Allen's Creek ends up getting taken up by 2050.
Hey man, how long? I know you don't know how long it's going to take us to get all of this information, environmental and stuff. And how long will it take to then fill the reservoir and then begin operations?
What they're thinking is, after you get all the permitting done, whether it takes 6 years or 10 years or 12 years.
Yeah, exactly.
Roughly 2 years to do the final design, once we got all the inputs from the permits, the core permits. Then 2 years to 3 years to fill. 2 years, and they're doing that based on a revision of a revised hydrology to say, okay, we think you can pump out of the river if these conditions exist. Now, if we go through a drought cycle where our flow triggers aren't met, you can take that 3 years, and we can be like Spence out in West Texas. We'll be out there, you know, we're a project in search of those. Search of a water supply. So
you're talking like 15 years if everything went just like you wanted.
If everything went just like we wanted,
yeah,
we could have this project done by 2020.
Okay.
2021. This is if we're working on it now.
Right.
We're getting our permitting done now. We don't find anything hairy when we get in there and do all that scientific and archaeological work. Nobody fights us when we go back to the state to have to get some modifications to our permit.
That's 9 years.
Well, it's not happening. It's not happening.
Never happened.
We would have to be busy doing that right now.
That's what I'm asking.
We'd have to be spending
$700,000, and that's 30% of what we'd be spending based on Priest Nichols. Instead, if we got $700,000 budgeted and they got $250,000 that they got borrowed from somebody else. Yes, we have to have discussions with Houston about buying their interest. They have no interest. In fact, Houston has already, for planning purposes, included Allen's Creek as a part of their water supply plan. They have committed, in the out years, a portion of that demand, ironically enough, to Fort Bend County interest. So some of the same people that are upset about Fort Bend County not being able to get Allen's Creek to be able to move forward are contributing to the problem of Houston not moving on the project. And in fact, what happened was the North Harris County Water Authority and the West Harris County Water Authority, along with the North Fort Bend Water Authority, bought into the City of Houston's water supply system. As a part of that buy-in, Houston convinced those entities to pay for a part of their Loose Bayou project, which is a large wastewater reuse project that has like 100,000 acre foot yield. So they had to pay millions of dollars in equity to be able to buy into that project. And so they're engaged on that. And that's what Houston used to take care of their intermediate demands. The reason why they don't need Allen's Creek now is because they got Loose Bayou. And they were able to get that through the TCEQ permitting process relatively unscathed. I mean, I don't know that they had any kind of significant protest because they had already worked out with their upstream folks the deal. And that's who would have been their big protest, which would have been the Dallas-Fort Worth area guys, because remember, in the Trinity River Basin, if they don't flush in Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston doesn't get any water.
That's right.
We just saw that.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. So the demand picture for us is this. Right now, the plan's projected to be between 2020 and 2030. They actually show 2020 era demand not being met if this isn't done. I think that math's going to change because when we get the revised population numbers, it's going to come back.
Yeah, got to.
Now, the thing that will probably come out is we will really work with Water Development Board to revise those manufacturing numbers because they are too high.
Because the inventor is not going to tell you what's happening in the future.
No.
Because that's an advantage
to
somebody.
But if they were planning for it, they'd be working with somebody to get it. If they're planning for it, I see them working more towards efficiency.
That's right.
And efficiency of existing water supply usage than looking at new stuff. So, any other questions about the project? We're going to wait until we get out there. So, a lot of drama, pretty cool views when we look at the Oxbow and the cut through. Then we get to the reservoir side. It's going to be kind of like, well, there's our land.
I've only got one picture of elevator holes. I've got, this is the wetlands
Commission.
And then
we'll pass those around.
Yeah, and then I've got the lease thing back there.
Here it is. Yeah. Here, I'll pass around these. Kathy Dominguez brought these. These are really good pictures. The first one is the picture of what Alligator Hole looks like. And I've chopped around down in there with a reporter from Texas Monthly, and that is what it looks like. The next one is a wetlands delineation map, so you can kind of see the area. I mean, when you have this much flat spot, it's this close to the coast, most of it ends up being wetlands. So when you do a project like this, you've got to mitigate a lot of wetlands. Then the last one here is an overview of the ag operations that we have. These are the leases that we've got, so you can get a kind of an idea of what the leases look like. So you can pass that around. Brad was thinking it was 90%. Well, from Allen's Creek runs out of Sealy down through just north of Wallace and then into the Brazos. Okay? Literally just north and east of Wallace towards Simonton, Allen's Creek runs into the river there. So there is some drainage. They do actually have some flooding issues when it rains a lot in Sealy out of Allen's Creek. One of the big issues for Sealy is concern about what happens when we build this reservoir down here. Is it going to cause flooding problems farther up the rear, up to Allen's Creek in Sealy? So it's not a lot from what they can calculate, but it's enough to concern the Sealy people about flooding implications from the reservoir.
One of those maps is
a
it's $500,000, $50,000 a year. Yeah. I want to say it's like $7 an acre.
Yeah. So, I want one.
Okay.
I want an easy project.
Yeah,
saltwater barrier. Yeah. You know what? Saltwater barrier is one of those deals where it's going to be hard to try to find somebody to help pay for that because it's a net benefit to everybody in the basin, but it doesn't necessarily make water. As a practical matter, it may free up some water because there's some water that has to be released and push salt back that wouldn't have to. And from a business standpoint, it could be seen as maybe more surplus than what it is right now.
And it keeps the salt water backing all the way up the river, 44 miles.
It kind of goes like this.
Which is what it will do in drought time.
Did you see any alligators?
I did not see an alligator one in Alligator Hole. I saw a lot of crawfish. Saw a bunch of crawfish, and it was funny. They had the most beautiful blue hue to them. You know, I don't ever remember seeing a crawfish with a blue color to them. Yeah, they're blue crawfish.
Wonder what that is.
I don't know. Something in the mineral, you know, in the soil down there.
Iron. Iron's not blue. It's copper. That's blue. If it's copper, you don't want to eat it.
Yeah.
You don't need much copper.
Yeah. You just think you get the guy.
Nah. He's not really going to kill him.
I don't know what it was, but it was
pretty cool.
Hey, what the crawfish, those carapaces off those crawfish, they were blue.
What was it?
Up there next to Alligator Hole when we took that reporter up there.
Oh, I didn't go on that trip.
But you've been out to that site.
Yeah, I have. We didn't do the full blown Alligator Hole tour like you did. Yeah. We had to get our waders.
You didn't
off.
Do the rubber boot tour.
Yeah, no.
Yes. So we're going to go to the Oxbow first,
yes,
right?
Yeah.
Kathy Dominguez. Kathy, orient us as far as where the people are going to be cut off are. Are they on our left?
They're going to be, oh gosh, let's see. They're going to be, oh gosh,
that street that cut off is just right over here, okay, in this neighborhood. As a matter of fact, yeah, the neighborhood we came through, this next street over, there's a street that actually washed out a little bit and it's falling down into the
right.
The river.
The place the nipples came through, will they be displaced?
Yeah, I think so. And that's right where it's wanting
this
to
this whole area through. Here is really what ends up having the potential to being cut off. One would have to assume when that happens that we'll have to make... Society will have to make some type of allowance for that. You guys are probably going to get asked to write it. I don't know how you would, but that's not going to stop anybody from asking you to do it.
Just to kind of orient everybody, the river flows this way. It comes in. This is the inside of that Oxbow. It comes around, goes around, and then goes back out that way. So what this lake's trying to do is, from over at this point, connect like that.
So right there, like that.
Exactly. Pretty much like that.
What's the
fire?
It depends on how many rain events.
We don't know. We don't. I mean, part of the deal is if we have a wet series of years where you have a lot of big, particularly if you have big flood events that come through there like that, it'll slough off a bunch of bank whenever they have those. If it's a dry year where it's only water supply releases that are coming through here, it'll slow down quite a bit. So, you know, generally think of it this way. If you have these big old sluggy thing, you know, flood events that come down through here, you're going to lose a lot of riverbank. And you can see because the way that the bank is set up here is pretty steep up on this back side here. It doesn't take much flow blowing through here to undermine the integrity of the bank and have it slough off. And that's true anywhere you go in the river, by the way. I mean, anywhere up and down the river you go. We have issues like that up north.
We have it in the middle part of the river, and we got it all the way down here. High bank side is really highly susceptible to erosion. Yes, absolutely. In fact, the property that we're looking at has high bank side on it. But the landowner was very philosophical about it. So I've been on this river all my life. He said, the river gives, the river takes away. And where it's giving you some on your low bank side, it takes it some away on the high bank side, and in the end, it all comes out in the water.
Good way to look at it.
Well, but he's looking at it from the standpoint of landowners that has
Allen's Creek, just to give everybody another perspective. Allen's Creek is going to be that way, over on the other side of the river.
Okay.
So it's due that way.
Oh, okay. That's what I was asking.
So this is on the river. One of the diversions in case the located probably about that way on this Oxbow. Well, yeah.
We don't
want
to get shot.
We in essence would be moving water from here to over there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It would come. The intake right now that we have it scheduled, intake number one would be over that way.
Right.
And like I said, Allen's Creek's over there. The second intake would be positioned kind of when these two meet over in that vicinity.
So do these people know that this is coming?
Oh, yeah. They've come to us a couple times to ask for our assistance, but there's not too much we can do, at least not right now, that we can do to prevent this erosion. And so, you know, I'm sure that's going to come up as once it hits this neighborhood over here where it eroded a natural street, when it starts getting residential, not just tracks, but residential houses, I think then there's going to be some kind of call for action.
It would happen whether we were here or not.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Right.
And that's the most difficult thing, because trying to stop...
We're not causing it.
Yeah, to stop that erosion, I mean...
Yeah, it'd be nice to have someone come in and stop it for us.
Yeah.
History,
so you can save your $50,000
exactly.
Home.
And merge and realign themselves. Yeah. And this is just part of that process.
But that will probably be something that comes up.